house of the Lord. Amen. It's a special week. Especially we got so many posts on WhatsApp. One rejecting Bible from schools everywhere. Somebody posted about Halloween. We are just living in such a age, like Jesus Christ when he went to be crucified. Everyone rejected him. So we have to appreciate time we have. Amen. Freedom to worship the Lord. Amen. Let's maybe start that song, Cast Your Burden Unto Jesus. If you have any today, I believe everyone has. Let's cast your burden to Jesus this evening. Amen. And worship him. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher, lifting Jesus higher, lifting Jesus higher. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lova, tram de leva, lova, tram de leva, lova. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Amen. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher. Higher, lifting Jesus higher. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lova, from the devil, Lova, from the devil, Lova. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, born to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. I am a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. On the way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saved are marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number, brother and sister. Amen. Sometimes you can't imagine that song says, I'll be shouting, glory, glory. I don't know if you can imagine that sometimes when you get in such a distress and when the reliefs come, brother and sister, that's something. That's something. That will be, brother and sister, like song says, I'll be shouting when you will see everything is gone. That will be shout, brother and sister. That will be shout of freedom. Amen. Amen. Let's sing today that song, I Gonna Stay Under His Blood. That's the best place where we can stay, under His blood. And we will ask Brother Eli if he can come just to open the word of prayer after this song. Amen. I think he. I go stay right under His blood. Under His blood, I gonna stay right under His blood. I gonna stay right under His blood. Do me no harm. I stay right under His blood. I gonna stay right under His blood. I gonna stay right under His blood. Can do me no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. No harm, no harm, no harm, no harm. Where the devil can do me no harm, I gonna stay under His blood. Stay right under His blood. There is power in the blood this evening. Amen. Where the devil can do me no harm, no harm, no harm.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you this evening for coming again in your house to meet and to fellowship with you, O Lord. Thank you for your mercies and your grace for the whole week. We have reached the end of the week, O Lord, while the world is celebrating their beliefs, O Lord. We see how the power of the devil is being deployed on the earth, O Lord. Because what we see in the physical is just the reflection of what's happening in the world unseen, O Lord. Since you have been deployed in your fullness, O Lord, the devil also wants to deploy himself in his children, in his ministers, O Lord, to counterattack your work on earth, Heavenly Father. But we know that you have always overcome, and you'll always overcome the devil, O Lord. No matter how powerful, no matter how much power he can deploy, O Lord, we know that you have overcome on Calvary once for all, O Lord. And you said in your word that upon this revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail, O Lord. That's why we are built upon that rock, O Lord, and we stand upon the rock, and we are more than confident, O Lord, that no matter what he will do, no matter even if he brings death on us, you have overcome death. Even if he brings hunger on us, you could stay 40 days, 40 nights without eating, and you overcome hunger, O Lord. Even if he brings anything on us, O Lord, we are more than overcomers. That's why we commit ourselves into your hands as we go through these troublesome periods, O Lord, asking that you strengthen our steps, O Lord. Every time, O Lord, let us not forget that we are called to be your witnesses, O Lord. If you had witnesses in past ages, O Lord, you want to have witnesses today, O Lord. Help us to be those faithful martyrs like Antipas, O Lord, who stood and took your word, O Lord, until giving his own life for your sake, O Lord. Help us as we commit ourselves into your hand. You have placed that into this city, into this country, O Lord, to be the witness bearers of your word. That's why help us to be the light. Help this light in us to shine, O Lord, through this darkness of this age, O Lord, so that they could see really that the children, the sons and daughters of God has been manifested, O Lord. Be with us now as we commit this service into your hand. Bless your servant. We'll speak to us from you, O Lord. Let it be a real spiritual food for our souls. Bless the worship. Bless everything from now until we end. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
God bless you, brother. We can sing maybe a few more choruses and maybe we can do our offering. Amen. That's the part of worship also. Amen. It's maybe key G, mine. Jesus is mine. Amen. My Jesus is mine. Jesus is my Savior day by day. My Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Jesus is my Savior day by day. Mine. Glory. Glory. Somebody touched me. Glory. Somebody touched me. Glory. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Wednesday, somebody touched me. It was on a Friday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
Once again, Father, we approach thy throne to pray for these offerings. Bless it, bless your children. Let your promise be fulfilled on them, O Lord. We commit it into your hands in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord there is power in the blood, even today. Let's confess your sin, whatever it is. Brother and sister, if you put your hand on that sacrifice, on that lamp, there is power, brother and sister. Amen. We thank the Lord. That's the place where we want to be this evening. Amen. Maybe we will just do some choruses singing. Maybe we can sing that song. It's I'm thinking of the rapture on the blessed time. Amen. It's key E, I think. I am thinking of the rapture on the blessed holy high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Autumn in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing over the city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing the redemption story with their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing.
surrendered him, a gathering in them. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Oh, coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me.
Maybe you can get invitation from whatever, but brother, there is different invitation. There is meaning in that invitation. You will know, brother and sister. Amen. Amen. Let's open our heart this evening and worship him. Amen. Let's he come and speak to us this evening. Amen. You deserve the glory and the our hands in worship, as we lift your holy name, you deserve.
deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, you deserve the glory and our honor, honoring your name. Our hands in worship as we lift your holy. You are great. That's what we want to say, oh Lord. One else like you, there is no one else like you. Amen. You are great. You the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. The glory. Yes, Lord, you deserve the glory this evening and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory. Hands in worship, holy name, you are great, you the miracle so great,
there is no one else like you,
there is no
one else like you,
you are great. Brother and sister, let's praise Him. Amen. You are love. Let's put your love. Worship Him. Amen. Our heart. Everything within.
Everything within
us, Christ. I love you. I love you, Lord. We are here to praise you, Lord. We are here to praise.
We are here.
Let's put yourself in. I'm here to praise Him. Lift your hands and sing. Amen. Here to give. I like to give you, Lord. Amen. Best that we can bring,
bringing you our love,
bringing you our love, rising from our heart, everything within. I love you. Let's sing once more with love, love to the Lord. We are here to praise you. Jesus Christ, I love you, I love you, Lord.
Amen, saints. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Our God is a great God. He has done many wonderful things to us, for us. And I think that he deserves worship tonight. I think that the Lord deserves that we worship him, because he is God. So just as the musicians are taking their seats, if you would like to spend just a couple of minutes in prayer, just to honor God, to thank him for bringing us through the week. There's many that we started this week with. They didn't finish it. But we are here today. We are worshiping God. There's many that are looking to worship God tonight, but they don't have that opportunity. And I just want to thank him for giving us this opportunity tonight. Let us pray. You just pray in your own way. Our Heavenly Father, oh, indeed, Lord, thou art a wonderful and loving God. We worship you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. Father, oh God, how wonderful it is that we could gather in thine house and that you could speak unto us, Father, unworthy as we are. Yet you love us so much, Lord. You give us grace, Lord, and mercy. Father, you reveal your word unto us. You prepare a place for us, Lord. You do so much for us, Father. Lord, and we just want to come back and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies upon our lives. Thank you for keeping us through the week. Thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity that we could be in your house once again tonight, Father, to sing these songs, to worship you. It may be a simple thing to many other people, Lord, but unto us this is grace, this is mercy that you have opened unto us, Father, that, Lord, we could give worship unto our King. Many, Lord, are being put in prison for doing this, Lord. They are being called names, this and that, Father. But Lord, thou art merciful. You still have given us an opportunity that we could worship you freely. May you be with us tonight, Lord. I pray that you would bless your people. I pray that you be with me. Lord, may you come and be the speaker tonight. Unworthy I am, Lord. I am not worthy of this work. But Father, oh God, thou art worthy. I look up to you tonight, Father. Bless your people, I pray. Take over, Lord, Father, this service, and let it be a blessing unto thy people. We love you. Father, we thank you for keeping us and for watching over us, Lord. May your name be glorified. Father, we are so thankful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I seen two accidents on my way to work this morning. All of them right in front of me, because it was so dark, and I'm driving and saying, oh, today the motorway is free. And then the person in front of me stopped. I said, why is he stopping now? Why is he creating such traffic? Then I went on the round like this, and he had hit the car in front of him. And I drive, same thing happens, and I'm like, why is he stopping again? I went round and he hit a motorbike in front of him. So I was very thankful to the Lord that none of those things came near to me. And I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. Would like to greet our visitors. Lindo, is it? From South Africa. Brother Ellis Friend. May God bless you. And a prayer request here from the Zima family. They will be away this weekend. And Sister Lydia's brother Samuel is going back to Slovakia next week, Tuesday, and they are asking for prayer. If you have your prayer requests, I think we'll come to a place where we will pray for them at the end of the service. I just want to read in the Bible tonight from the book of Genesis chapter 6, speaking of Noah in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, I'll just read a few verses and jump to the book of Lamentations. Genesis 6, I will read from verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a great thing in those days for a man to find grace. Lamentations chapter 3. Don't know if you know where Lamentations is. It's after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3, I would like to read from verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should have both, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he has borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are most thankful, Lord, for your word. How wonderful it is to read from the scriptures that in such a time as Noah lived, Lord, yet, Father, he found grace in thy sight. To read in your word, Father, that you will not cast men forever, that you will not cause grief, but that you will have compassion to the multitude of his mercies. Father, we are so thankful that you not afflict men willingly. Oh God, what a graceful and merciful God that you are unto us. We pray, Father, that you be merciful to us tonight, even as we read from your scriptures and say these few words. Father, let them not be words of men, but Father, may they be your words. May they have effect in the lives of your people. We ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. May God bless you, saints. You may take a seat. The pastor has been speaking the last few times about some of the attributes of God. And I thought that maybe I could piggyback a little bit on him and speak on one of them, because God has got many attributes, loads of them. And the pastor has been speaking about how God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And if you have a need, you come to him. But you have to know that he is a provider, because if you don't know that God is a provider, how then are you going to even approach him? Even if you know, but you don't believe that he is a provider, you will never then approach him. Even if you approach him, your approach won't be the right kind of way of approaching him, because you are not convinced that this God is a provider. So you come to him maybe chancing to say, maybe he might provide. But if you believe in your heart that God is a provider, then you are going to come to him with full confidence that he's going to provide my need. But if you don't believe, but you just know conceptually that God is a provider, well, I'll go to him, but Brother Eli is a provider as well. So you have a need, and then you come to the Lord, but you are double-minded already at that time. Because you are only chancing, thinking, I'm going to go to God and see if he can provide for me. If he can't, I'll go to Brother Eli, because he's a provider as well. So That's the reason why many times we don't receive what we are looking for from the Lord. Because we approach him with a double mind. We are not fully convinced of the attribute that we are approaching him on to try and activate it so that it can do for us what we want. God is as well a jealousy God, the Bible says, that he will not share his glory with anyone. And if we know that and we believe it, when we do something for the Lord, you are never going to try to take glory because he won't share with anybody. And if you truly believe that he won't share is a jealousy God, you're never going to do things like that. But the reason why we do it many times, we know these things, but we don't fully believe them the way we are supposed to believe them. God is patient. He is long-suffering, even as we read in the book of Noah, that he said, my spirit will not always strive, meaning he was striving with men all this time. So we know that God is long-suffering and patient. And when we know that and we believe it, it's going to do something to us when we are maybe impatient with our children and so forth. So there's a lot that depends on you believing this, the attribute that you are approaching God for. And tonight, I just wanted maybe to look at one of them, maybe not so deep, but God is a merciful God. The Bible here in the book of Lamentations is saying that though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. The Bible says he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. But the devil many, many times he has so many tricks. And one of them is that he wants you to forget some of the attributes of God. If he can get you to forget that God is a merciful God, but he will preach to you and tell you that God is a God of judgment. What you have done, you are going to be judged and punished. He will chastise you. And we have no doubt at all in our minds when the devil begins to preach about certain attributes of God. You have done this, you are going to be judged, he will chastise you. And we believe it so much without a doubt. But we then believe it way so much until we forget that that very same God he's talking about is also a God of mercy. A God of compassion. And if we know that God is a God of compassion, even in the times of extreme provocation, God is a God of compassion. He says he will seek mercy not before judgment. The prophet says the Lord will never bring a person to judgment before he even warns the person. This person is coming to judgment. Now God does everything that he can to warn that person to say, my friend, you are approaching judgment. Why? Because his mercies are so abundant. It says that they are new every morning. We can never exhaust the mercies of God. But if the devil can get us to forget that, he's not a God of mercy, it can really kick you down after he is convicting you of something and you never think that God will forgive you. But even for you to sit there as a Christian, the very first thing that God did for you is to take away all that you had done in your life, to show that he is a God of mercy. All through the Bible, God has been trying to show men that God is a God of mercy because his mercies will never fail. And it says, he will not afflict men willingly. And now the devil can get you to be in such a squeeze, in such a corner, that you can think that maybe God is sitting up there looking to see how can he frustrate my plans. There, the Bible says that to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not. So in your own plans that you are doing, God is not thinking, how can I subvert his plans to just frustrate him? No, that's not the nature of God. The nature of God is to be merciful. The judgment is strange to the Lord. It's something that he has to do after he has tried everything else with a man. But he is sitting up there thinking, how can I help my son and my daughter? Because he paid a heavy price for you to be his son and daughter. How can I help him to establish him? The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, to prosper you. Those are the things that God is trying to do for you right now. Yeah? It's like the Bible teaches us that God puts a hedge around his children, even as he did for Job. A hedge to keep the devil out. That's the very nature of God. And if you can know that, and if you can believe that this is the very nature of God, it's very easy, saints, when we approach his throne of mercy. Because we know and we believe that when I approach his throne of mercy, I've made so many mistakes today, but I have confidence in my Lord that he's going to have mercy towards me. Yeah? Even in times where the provocation is just way too much, like in the book of Exodus, where we just read. In the book of Exodus, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That was a big and mighty, wonderful thing to happen. Because if you consider the days that Noah was living in, they were very wicked days. Yeah? It came to a place where God, in his heart, he felt grieved. He was like, it repenteth me. I regret that I ever made man. Imagine, he was regretting that I ever even made man. But yet in that condition, Noah found grace. And before the Lord even said, I'm going to destroy this whole thing, you can backtrack in the book of Genesis to see exactly how this process came about. It says in verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So they were just doing what they want. Yeah? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. So for him to say, my spirit will not always strive, it means he has been striving with men up to that age. God had been trying to reason with men to say, turn away from your ways. Don't do this. This is wrong. This is evil. Striving with them until it came to a place say, my spirit will not always do this. Yeah? Then what did God do? The first thing when he came to such a place where he said, my spirit will not always strive, the first thing that God did, he said, yet his days shall be 120 years. And it's easy to just read past that. 120 years. Because it seems like a long time to us. If we find a person today who's 120 years, they'll be in the book of records. Say, this person is old, 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 old. Yeah? It's a rare find to find somebody 120 years old. But if you take yourself and move yourself into the context of those days, people were not living for 120 years. They were not living for 2 or 3 or 4. They were getting to 900 years. Those are the people that were the adults in those days. The adults were 900 years old. And then God says, I'm cutting you from 900 to 120. That should have sent such a warning in society to see that children are dying. What's going on? Children are dying. Because to be 120 years, weddings in those days were people for, the bride was 100. That's true, saints, it's not a joke. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 5 and you read the descendants of Abraham, Adam, and I'll just skip through, but I'll read some of them. Verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. At 130, he had a son, his firstborn, Seth, yeah? Then I'll skip. All the days Adam lived were 930. Yeah? Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And then now God comes and says, okay, you won't get to 9. So you see how big a thing it is. Yeah. If you apply maths, the statistics, 120 years over 900, what's the percentage? 86% of their life was wiped out, limited. So if today people are living up to 80 years by reason of strength, maybe. But really, it's 70 years limit now. And God comes and says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm going to cut the same percentage I did in those days. Do you know how old the people will live to be now? 9 years.
That's how shocking it must be for us to say people are not going past 9 years, they are dying. We must consider our ways because we have gone away from the Lord. But you see how much God was striving with people until he said, well, I will still let them live, but I'll cut them to 120 years. It was such a big thing in those days. Yeah, Enos lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. So these people were living until that age before they even had children. So the time they were living in was such a bad, bad time. Even after God had limited them, he said, maybe they are getting too old and getting too wise unto themselves and creating this evil. I'll cut them to 120. Yet the evilness of men did not stop. After all that, yeah, God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That it repented him that he had made men, and then he comes to a place where it says, I will destroy men whom I have created. God was going to destroy the whole thing, do away with it. And yet in that condition, Noah found grace. That's a great attribute, saints, that God could find somebody that he could show his mercies towards. Noah found grace, not only Noah, because now he tells him what to do to escape the judgment that's coming, build an ark. But what did the people do? They provoked God. After the ark was built, that was their way of escape. The prophet tells us they laughed at Noah to scorn. Yeah? To laugh at him, say, do you think that boat will float? And this, it had never rained, and this and that, mocking God. Yet still God left that ark there open for them to enter. If they had walked in there, they would have survived. But no, they provoked God, and then it had to come to a place of judgment. But before all that happened, God was seeking mercy. He was seeking grace towards the people. The Bible says, though your sins be red like crimson. Come, let us reason. Red. Your sins are red like crimson. Come, let us reason. And they will be white as snow. That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the kind of attribute that the devil would like for you to forget. But this God that we're worshiping, he is a real merciful God. Because even Paul in the Bible had killed people. None of us here, maybe some, but most of us here never came to that stage where we killed people, Christians, thinking we are doing God a service. But yet still God had mercy for Paul. Even another provocation that the people done against God in the book of Numbers, it speaks of the children of Israel, that they provoked God. It says in Numbers, maybe I'll read exactly as it says, so that I don't misquote. 21. And the people spake against God. This wasn't even the first time. They had been murmuring against God, saying this and that. But the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Just a few chapters back, water had come out of a stone. A stone, and they were drinking water. Even that very morning they were saying this thing, they had picked up bread that they didn't even have to work for. Yeah? But what was their conclusion concerning that? There is neither any water, and our soul loatheth this bread, hates this bread. Angel's food, that's great provocation if you think of it. Because God had done such a wonderful, wonderful thing for these people. These people were born slaves. Their parents were slaves. Their grandparents were slaves. 430 years, I don't know how many generations that is. They were slaves. They never knew freedom. They were under somebody's hand who could do with them whatever he wanted. They could not even exercise their own free will. And God was merciful to the people. And he raised a prophet and sent them there and said, go and free my people. And they saw what God did to Pharaoh. Even to the very time where Moses said, these Egyptians that you see, you will see them no more, God said. Yeah? And their armies were destroyed until today, 2018. There's nothing. They are gone. Egypt was destroyed then. It never rose again. Yeah? That was God's mercy towards the people. Now he brings them out under such conditions to give them back their freedom, the very thing that they never had. Since they were born, they never knew what is freedom. And God gives it to them like that through a mighty hand, the Bible says. Yet they come into the wilderness and mock God. Provoke him, the Bible says. They provoked him so. It was such great a provocation. Imagine, brother, you pick up somebody in the streets and has got no place to stay. And he's been harassed and this and that, no hope at all. And you bring someone like that into your house and after some time says, it had been better you left me. Oh, God is a righteous God. But that provoked him. I'm sure it will provoke you very much. He got so provoked until he let serpents among the people. And they were biting the people and the people realized their mistake. Even in that condition, they came to Moses and said, Moses, we have realized our mistake. Pray unto the Lord that the serpents will stop eating the people. And Moses prayed. And God, his compassions will never fail. Because he said to Moses, you make a brazen serpent. Put it there, whoever looks will live. If you don't look, you will die. That was God. That's the nature of the kind of God that we are worshiping. And no matter what it is that it could be upon us, our God is a merciful God. If we come to him believing, because the Bible says whoever comes to the Lord must believe. It's not an option that you could say, well, I'll just come when everybody is coming. No, yourself, you have to believe that this God we are coming to is a merciful God. Amen. And that he will forgive me or he will be merciful unto me. Because many times we get so confused when it comes to seeking the will of God for us in our lives. Or maybe we are doing something in our lives. It comes to a place where it's not working or it's a broken dream. But it was something that was in your heart. You invested time in it. And now it's not working and things have gone wrong. We can many times think, maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Maybe he doesn't. And sometimes it is true. But many times it's the devil trying to keep you away from your inheritance. But if we know that our God is a merciful God, and I'm going to come to him tonight and pray unto a merciful God, saints, he can do so much for us if we come believing the very right way. That God is a merciful God. Just, we want to come to a time of prayer quickly. I want to read a verse for you in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And it says in verse 16 that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So when we are in a time of need and the devil has made you to forget that God is a merciful God, where are you going to receive that grace? But tonight we know that our God is a merciful God. So when we know that and we believe it with all our hearts, we can come to the throne of mercy tonight, yeah? Boldly. Now, boldly doesn't mean arrogantly, you know, but boldly knowing, boldly believing that where I'm going to receive what I want. Just think of it while the musicians come just for a little chorus. Just think of that lady, the woman that was caught in adultery in the days of Jesus. The people had forgotten in those days that God is a God of mercy. Amen. And they caught her in adultery. And they brought her before, they say, we caught her in the very act. and she must be stoned. What do you say? They were trying to try him. And he wrote in the sand like this to ignore them. And they pressed him, and then he said, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus had compassion to a woman that was caught in adultery. Yeah? And he said, woman, where are your accusers? None. And he said, go, sin no more. I don't condemn you. Hallelujah. The God of heaven, a woman caught in adultery, says, I don't condemn you. So what is it that could condemn you tonight, Brother John? What is it? If you come to the mercy seat of God tonight, what is it that God could not forgive you, that could stop you from obtaining mercies? There's nothing. Because though your sins be red like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. If we could sing just a chorus and we pray and seek for this mercy for our church.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book, every promise
is mine.
Every promise in the book
is mine.
Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is.
Let us believe it, saints. Let us come to Him now just boldly believing that He is a God of mercy and we will obtain mercy tonight. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord. I just want to read again from the book of Luke. Chapter 7, verse 11. It says in the Bible that, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now it's very important to remember that it says the day after that, because something had just happened in the previous verses. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So Jesus is coming with much people. This lady also has much people. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around. You may be seated for a while. So we are reading again here, Jesus meeting a woman that was grieving.
It is not an easy thing to lose a child. It's never happened to me. But in reading the accounts of the prophet, it is actually a very difficult thing. If you could think that the prophet, despite all the things that happened in his life up to that stage, and he lost his wife, but it was when he lost his child, he nearly wanted to kill himself. If it wasn't for God that gun got jammed, he would have killed himself. Yeah? Because it's a very hard thing. There's not even a word for it when somebody loses a child. If you lose a husband, you're called a widow. Oh, is it widower? If you lose your parents, you're called an orphan. But there's no word for somebody that loses a child. It's that hard, that society. There's a stigma even to name such a thing. That's where this woman was. And this boy, if you consider her situation, this lady, she was a widow, meaning her husband had died. And she had an only son. That son was her only hope. Because in the laws of inheritance of Israel, the land would not pass to the woman. If the man dies, the inheritance passes to the sons. Yeah? If it passes to the daughters, then they have to marry somebody from the same tribe. But this woman had an only child, an only son. Her husband dies, the land passes to this boy, and then this boy dies. It has to pass to a near kinsman, leaving this woman at the mercies of someone else, a relative. And you know how it is with relatives many times, you know? So she was in such a bind, she was in such a condition that we cannot even imagine what she was going through. And then she had all this group of people. They were now going, they were all mourning with her. They were witnesses to her that this child had died. Maybe they could have read of the Shunammite and Elisha raising that boy, but in the immediate history before that time, there was no precedence for her to think that maybe my son could be raised. Because this was the first person that was raised by Jesus in his ministry. So you could maybe understand her that she had accepted that my son is dead. We are going to bury this boy. Her only hope, her only source. She was carrying that hope to the grave to bury it because it had died. There's many, many widows of Nain walking in these days. Maybe you haven't lost a son or a daughter. But many times people carry with them such grief in their hearts that it keeps them from expressing what God really wants them to express. Some disappointment from someone, something that they had looked at as, this is my hope, this is my source, it's going to be my future, and the whole thing dies. I know what I'm talking about. I went to college for 6 years to study architecture. Come here, work for 2 years, and everything went away. Nothing. For 3 years, I sat in the house delivering newspapers with Brother Vladimir sometimes. It can be a hard thing. It can create a stigma in you to say, but what does God think about the time I spent at college or things like that? So imagine this woman walking with that cloud of witnesses and then hear Jesus coming to that same place and he meets with this woman. And it says the day after that, because the previous day, Jesus had been in Capernaum, yeah? With this great cloud of people, a lot of things had happened, but the previous day, this centurion, when he heard that Jesus was around, he sent his servant, say, go and tell him that I have a sick servant. He needs prayer. He's a good man, yeah? And Jesus said, let's go to the place. And they were going there, and the centurion sends more people and say, tell him I'm not worthy that he should come into my house. Just tell him to speak the word and my servant will live. Jesus never saw that man. He never even laid his hands on him. He didn't even pray for him. He didn't even say, your faith has made you well, because that's what he has. He just said, it says he marveled and said, I've never seen such great faith. That's all. And the man got healed. So there was a cloud of witnesses that knew that, my, he never said anything and the man got well.
And he is coming with that cloud of witnesses, and he meets this woman here. She's weeping for her son. And what does Jesus say to her? Weep not. Amen. Maybe she didn't even understand it. But God had said to her, weep not. And God is saying the same thing to us tonight. No matter what situation may be in your life that could be dead like that, weep not. If you can believe it, weep not. But many times maybe we don't maybe understand exactly. But he is saying just as much to you tonight that weep not for that dead situation. Many times we go away from church, yeah? The word having been ministered, you having been set free from that condition. The Lord has set you free from it, but you still go home with the same condition. The same thing happened to that little girl in Finland. I think you know her story. When the prophet was in Finland, and he was going through this dormitory to the place where he was going to preach, and a little girl came of about 9-10 years old. And she was an orphan. Her parents had been killed, yeah, in the war. And her limb, her leg was not working from birth. And, oh, it's difficult to describe what condition she was in, because she had all these crutches, and it was complicated even to understand when the prophet says how she was walking. But he saw her, and he motioned for her to come, and the soldiers are pushing him. She was a Finnish girl. And he motioned for her. She came, and she touched his jacket and said kitos or something like that, yeah? And the prophet saw a vision of that girl. He saw a vision of her walking normally. And he said, honey, you are healed. But she couldn't understand what he was saying. Even though she was healed from that moment, yet she walked away from the prophet, still in her crutches, the legs still not working. That's what happens many times. We come to church, the word is ministered, it speaks to your condition, and God sets you free. He breaks the power of the enemy from that condition in your life, and he says to you, weep not, or you are healed. But you still leave this place here, the same way you came. That's what happened to this girl. But God is a merciful God. Even when that happened, when the prophet had a prayer meeting that night, yeah? And this girl was also in the prayer line. And he had prayed for the people and prayed and prayed, and they were pulling him to say, it's time up, let's go, let's go, let's go. He said, I just want to have a few more. My, and the next one in the line was that girl. He didn't pray for her. He just said, Sister Isaacson, tell her that she was healed that time. She must take off those braces. And then it was interpreted to her much more simpler terms, and she understood that I am healed. Within few minutes, she was running around carrying those crutches. That's maybe what we need tonight. In simple, pure, simple English, that weep not. Why should you weep? Weep not. Go home and believe. And your condition is over. That's what Jesus said to the woman of Nain. He said, weep not. Went and touched that bier, and the boy got up. And he was raised and was given back to his mother. That's exactly the same God that we are worshiping. He's a God of mercy. He has compassion. His compassions will not fail, it says. And he will seek mercy before judgment. And we judge ourselves and put conditions on ourselves. No, no, no. That's not the nature of God. That's just the devil hacking your brain, making you think that's the nature of God. But God is a merciful God. He's a God full of compassions. And with that, we can approach his throne, knowing that our God is a God of mercy. And so if you have any dead condition in your life tonight, I'll tell you the secret of how to get it to resurrect again. If you are carrying a corpse of a dream that died, because I carried a corpse of a dream that died. 3 years I sat in the house struggling with my wife, cooking eggs in the kitchen, earning 250 euro per week. And that's where we had to pay rent and everything. 3 years, saints. That's not an easy thing. Yeah? But one day, God was merciful to me. And he showed me how to do these things. Yeah? And I'll read it for you here if you want.
the prophet in the message, the restoration of the bride tree. It's not a big quote. It says, death and life won't mix. It's simple. Death and life will not mix. Jesus never did attend a funeral service, but he would raise the dead. Why? Death and life cannot stay together. So if there's a condition in your life today that is dead, death and life cannot mix. Just put Jesus into it and you see what happens. It has to resurrect. It's not possible for something not to happen. Even a dead stick that, what was his name? Aaron, yeah? A dead stick was put in the presence of Jesus. The following day, it budded. Yeah? It's a very fantastic thing to think about, but it's true. So death and life cannot mix. Jesus never did attend a funeral service. He would raise the dead. Why death and life cannot stay together? They are contrary one to another. He didn't preach no funerals. And the same Jesus that never preached any funeral is the same one today. He never preached any funerals and he's not going to preach any. So if you have today a dead condition and you have a cloud of witnesses that this thing has never been done, it's not possible for this to ever happen again. I'm telling you, there's also another cloud of witnesses that can testify of the things that happened even yesterday, even to this very day, because he cannot preach a funeral. So if you put him in any condition that could be in your life today, it has to resurrect, because everything has to obey the word of God. And I am a firm believer in that. Just as our musicians come back up again, I don't know if there's much prayer requests, but my wife was telling me of a doctor that she worked with, very, very compassionate man. And yesterday she saw him in the hospital. He what? Died, is he? Collapsed or something. So they resurrected him. He just died suddenly. He's a wonderful, wonderful consultant. Now he's in hospital. He just collapsed in his house. No medical issues, just collapsed. Now he can't walk. And she's been burdened about it. And she thought we could pray for that man tonight. Because God is a God of mercy. Of all the people that train her in the hospital, he's the only person that explains things. A very good man. And now he's lying there in a bed of sickness after having been resurrected. I think if we put God into that condition, that man will resurrect again. And he can walk again and carry on with his work. I don't know if anybody has any prayer requests just before we go into prayer again. Maybe we can sing, the saints will think.
As we gather, as we gather, Spirit,
move among us.
As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise your name. We'll be blessed because we can set past life. Every morning,
They are new every morning.
New every morning.
Saints, you just pray in your way. If you have any crutches in your heart, take them off. This is the time to do it. And you realize afterwards that I don't need these crutches anymore. You know? And you'll be free to really express what God wants you to be. Because God has made his people to express them here, to reflect some of his attributes. But we are stopped many times because of crutches that we carry, corpses of broken dreams. There's no need for that. The Bible says, weep not. The prophet says, take off your crutches. And it's time that we do that. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, with a prayer request. Let's just remember our church. We really need God's grace. The place has become small, but we thank God for it. It's just about time that we found something. There's something out there for us, but God can reveal it. If we wait upon him, he can do it. And let us pray for that and keep it in our prayer that the Lord may help us. We'll just sing a couple of songs as we praise the Lord, and then we will dismiss. One day I wanted to go to the house of the Lord. I wanted to go and knock at his door just to find where he stays and go to him and talk to him. But I read in the Bible that the Lord dwells in the praises of his saints. So let's praise him. That's where he dwells, and we will reach to him tonight.
Jesus.
Wonderful, wonderful,
Jesus is to me.
Counselor, Prince of Peace,
mighty God is He.
Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame.
Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Wonderful, wonderful,
Jesus is to me.
Counselor, Prince of Peace,
mighty God is there.
Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame.
Wonderful is my Redeemer,
praise His name.
Oh, my heart sings today,
sings for joy and gladness.
Jesus saves,
satisfies,
banishes my sadness.
Guilt is gone,
yes, it's mine.
Peace like to a river.
Jesus is a wonderful,
mighty to deliver.
Wonderful, wonderful,
Jesus is to me.
Thank the Lord, Prince of Peace,
mighty God is He.
Saving me, keeping me
from all sin and shame.
Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation.
Jesus gives liberty
and for salvation.
Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven,
and my name is inscribed in the book
of heaven.
Wonderful, wonderful,
God is
saving me,
keeping me
from sin and shame.
Wonderful is my Redeemer,
praise His name.
Living here with my Lord
in a holy union,
day by day,
holding sweet communion.
Since my soul is blessed,
full and free,
salvation.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful,
wonderful,
Jesus is to me.
Counselor,
Prince of Peace,
mighty God is me.
Saving me,
keeping me
from all sin and shame.
Wonderful is He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is in Jesus my Lord.
Wonderful,
eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word is in Jesus my Lord.
Wonderful
is in Him.
Wonderful,
Jesus, my Lord,
wonderful.
Eyes have seen,
ears have heard,
what's recorded in God's word
is in Jesus, my Lord,
wonderful.
Just one more chorus and we'll ask Brother Max to come and dismiss us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's an answering God.
Hallelujah.
He's an answering God.
When I pray in Jesus' name
and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah.
He's an answering God. an answering God.
How many have been blessed this evening? Amen. We thank our precious brother for bringing us such a powerful message, the word of God. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads and let's pray. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, we thank you this evening for your word of grace, your word of inspiration, your word of assurance, that, Lord, tonight it has given us the privilege, Lord, to come boldly, Lord Jesus, unto your throne of mercy. And Lord, even we believe that, Lord Jesus, with the full assurance of faith, that, Lord, our petitions and our requests to God, we believe that, Lord Jesus, we have obtained grace for our requests and petitions, Lord. Because, Lord Jesus, we know your compassion, O Lord, faileth not. And great is your faithfulness, Lord. So, Father, we say thank you. We bless you. We give all the glory to you. Lord, even we have prayed for this doctor. We don't know him. But as you lay the burden upon your daughter to bring it to your house here, Lord. Father, we've heard about someone who is life. So, Lord, tonight we call that life, the name Jesus Christ, upon the situation of this doctor, that in the name of Jesus Christ, healing, O God, will take place even this very hour. As Jesus even touched that young man and was alive instantly, Lord, let it be so. Because we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You faileth not, to God. Father, once again, we want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming here in your house, Lord. We thank you, the Lord, we have heard from our pastor. Oh, Lord, it is your word that says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the prophet said it's always difficult for someone to remain a servant always. But anyone that will give himself to be spent and to be spent for others, Lord, that one will sit with you in his throne. So, Father, we commit our pastor, the love of labor that has sent him to that place of God. Many will hesitate to go to those places, Lord. But, Father, we thank you. You have given him the boldness because of the love of the work of God. Father, bless him, Lord Jesus. Amen. We commit, Lord, his family he left behind unto your hands, Lord. The wife and the children, Lord, protect them, guide them. Lord, sustain their needs, Lord Jesus. And Father, even as many of our brethren who weren't able to turn up tonight, Lord, you know where they are. Tonight we've heard about life. In any condition that is dead, you, Lord Jesus, called upon a sinner, will restore. And so, Lord, the blessings we have received here tonight, we pray that, oh God, they will receive the same also. Let it be to their portion also, Lord. Father, we thank you mightily. We commit our precious brothers, you use him, Lord. Hallelujah. Continue, Lord. Continue, Lord Jesus, to replenish him, Lord. Father, be with him always in his closest. When he sits to seek from you grace, Lord, for the sake of your bride, O God, speak to him always, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you once again for this church, even as it has already been said, is becoming smaller. It's becoming smaller because the people are increasing. As you are adding to your church daily, O God. Father, we pray, knowing the Lord, there is a place where you have ordained for us. And Lord Jesus, one of these days we know we will be moving to that place, Lord, and continue to glorify your name, Lord. Father, we thank you for the ministry here. We thank you for the officers. We thank you for the deacons. We thank you for all the Lord you have done for us, Lord. Amen. And Father, we can never fail always to remember our children, O God, and our youth, Lord. Looking at the world, the way how it is going, Lord. Father, we commit them into your hands. Let your presence, O God, be with them. Lord Jesus, overshadow them, O God. When they mix up, Lord, Father, as we have heard, life cannot mix with death. Father, let that life in them, O God, always overshadow that darkness, Lord. Once again, Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. Gentlemen, since you have called us, even as we are going back, O God, we seek the same from you. The Lord, you grant us gentle mercies. Committing, Lord, come in Sunday, Lord, into your hands. Every aspect of our worship here, from the Sunday schools, to praises and worship, to the word that will come, Lord. We seek, Lord Jesus, your presence, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will sweep over us, Lord. We want to see you, God. Sunday, if Lord you tarry, let us see you. Let us hear from you. We commit all into your hands. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. 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 God richly bless you. Let us continue to remember our pastor. As he's over there, we really thank the Lord because those places, it's uncompromising places, but we know our Lord will overshadow him. Amen. And let's continue to remember the saints also over there. They are few, but always, it is always a few. Amen. God richly bless you.
Hallelujah, he's an answering God.